done my best to try to work with the board that I have been given. I hope, at least it's been my intent, not to single them out, not to put them in some kind of camp, and I've been very impressed that our board has functioned that way. I think the members of the board have been able to speak, been able to make their points, been right persuasive in a number of areas, and carried the day on issues, and made a real contribution to the institution.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we feel there's real qualified weakness in the oversight of the theological direction of the university. That's what we're here. And we feel like that voice is not being heard.
Are you making that point with regard to the appointment of faculty primarily? Is that what you mean?
In every regard, whether we're talking about what is being taught, whether the faculty members being hired or something. I don't think he has to be the one to tell President Stanford University or the provost to direct the hire. We're just simply saying, here's some guidelines we wish you to follow when you're making your selection. And when we raise an objection to something, we have felt like in the past that it's not being heard. And that's one of our great concerns. So.
The argument from silence here for a moment, for clarity's sake, because I think it's 3:15 now. We're beginning to draw into the home stretch, and we need to begin to conclude and to summarize and some things like that. What I hear you saying, Ed, is that you're saying that the concerns are localized in a relatively small area of the campus life, and that is the theological instruction and direction is most of the concern. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I'm saying that. What we believe is happening, it has some repercussions in the entire university. I mean, we can't say theology is limited to the religious part of the university, because it isn't. I mean, theology is part of our lives. We live some lifestyle based on what we believe. So we can't say it's limited to that. I think that it has its roots in the area of theology.
Okay. We need to begin to conclude, and I'm sure Dr. Kortz perhaps would in a moment like to call Dr. Kortz perhaps on some of your people who may want to say something, or you may not want to call on them. I'm going to defer to Jimmy Jackson for any concluding statements, remarks, or we've got 15 minutes, not even that, to try to wrap this up. So, Jimmy.
It won't take you a moment. One thing we never did get to, Dr. Kortz, and that's something I just want to ask you to look into for us. It's a concern. This is the study that we've been doing on the cornerstone curriculum, which is the holistic approach to teaching the freshmen and sophomores. You're familiar with that. And I noticed that at least one of the people who came to me was on in the group that worked on this. Been doing a review of our study of the book that is taught to freshmen. Book Be Not Conformed, Changing the Way We See the World by John Christy Cully. And after having studied this book and realizing that we at the Home Mission Board and the Southern Baptist Convention have a staff that is paid for out of our tithes and offerings who are studying cults and the occult and help us to learn how to witness those people and to avoid getting entrapped in the New Age movement and so on. Had this book studied by an independent organization that is also dealing with cults and the occult, and their response was that this particular book, which is one of the first books taught to our freshmen, just fresh out of high school, this book, and let me just quote from their reaction to this or their response, says, thank you for your letter and the information regarding the book Be Not Conformed. The book reeks of New Age and globalist thinking and is completely inappropriate for a Christian school. The authors that are quoted range from pagans to Marxist humanists to liberal Christians. Although I agree with the central message of the book itself, we are an overly materialistic society and other and often irresponsible toward the environment. Of course, the solution that they propose completely obliterates the essential Christian message buried underneath the mounds of pagan and New Age jargon. And there's just a lot of comments in that book, and I realize this is one book out of all the cornerstone curriculum. It waves a red flag at me, and it says that somebody really needs to look at this. If we're paying folks to study this material and to teach us how to stand against it, we certainly don't want to, as a Christian institution, propagate this to the students who are coming here out of our churches. And just as an illustration, this is a quote out of the book about salvation. It says, salvation is discussed, but it is redefined. And in quote, page 64, this is our salvation. To realize the blessing that is life, to be saved from our self-imposed denial of creation. Salvation is not something we earn something to have. It is realizing our worth and life's blessings were there and possible all along. Salvation means overcoming the separation from creation by realizing and accepting the worth and the blessing. Salvation means at one, becoming one with creation. And all through this book, creation occupies the place of God. It's a rather astounding approach, and I think it'd be good. I know you don't have time to go through and read all these books and study the curriculum and the background, but I just want to say that we believe, along with the expression, that if there are four faculty members out of 270, the problem is that these four faculty members all are in one small segment, that is in the religion department. It concerns us. We see that as something that we would certainly like to see some corrections made. If you had other faculty members, I understand there will be openings for other faculty members, that we have some people who reflect more of the Baptist faith and message background, their convictions are more in line with the ones you've expressed that you believe and that we believe, and that where there are faculty members who are constantly overstepping the bounds, that there be some innovative ways of dealing with these people, even to the point of reassigning responsibilities or whatever, keep them from planting bad seeds in the life of our young people, and to review this curriculum to be sure that we're not incorporating into what could be a very healthy approach, the holistic idea of blending the religion and the sociology and the psychology, all that together, and having it undermined by the New Age and occultic type influences. Well, that's just our concern. Again, we appreciate your coming, and I realize this is not an enviable position for you. I wouldn't want to be the one coming here today, and I didn't elect myself to this position. I didn't even want to be on this panel, but I think we do need to face the issues. We see a concern maybe much deeper than you do at this point. We do see it as something to be dealt with, and you know, it's kind of like if there's a hole in the road that you take to go to work every day, and you keep calling trying to get that hole fixed. You've either got to fix the hole, or you've got to take another route. And we don't want to see the people in our churches across our state taking another route of education. We want to fix the hole and get it worked out, because although I'm not a graduate of Samford, didn't attend there, I went to Mississippi College, and but I've been a pastor in this church, in this state, for 22 and a half years now, and I've seen a lot of our kids come to Samford, and I know there are a lot more that will in the years to come, and I'm concerned about that, and I don't share it from your perspective, but I do share a great concern about the doctrinal integrity, and that's the reason we wanted to meet with you.
Okay, Bill, you said you had a quick word, make it quick.
Thank you. I do want to thank you, Dr. Quartz, for coming today. But the thing that bothers me about the four is that if James Spann came on TV tonight, since we finally do have power, and said that there were four drunk drivers on the road, still that's too many for me. Because with my luck, I'm going to see one of them on my street. And that's what bothers me. Now also with that curriculum that he was referring to, the second year, the sophomore year, they get the biblical perspective. I feel like we've almost got the cart before the horse. I feel like they ought to get the biblical perspective first in their freshman year, how it integrates in with everything else, and then they can see the abnormal a whole lot clearer. So I wish there was an inversion there of what they get the sophomore year, put the Bible there first, and then you can see what the abnormal is. If everybody looked at my notes and thought that was normal, we would be in sad shape. Fortunately, there's some people with normal noses out there, so that's why I think you'll get the biblical perspective first. Again, I thank you for being here today.
Jeff, you want to say something? Make it brief.
Just Dr. Courts, that I very sincerely appreciate you taking your time. And just to share with you that my motives are pure. I don't want to put a bad name on the school, but based on abundance of scripture, a pastor has an imperative responsibility to point out and deal with things that to me are extremely clear. I am a little discouraged that you apparently see no real problem in things that among my people, 300 folks at Wednesday night service, I read some things, they were overwhelmed. That there could be no explanation, but that this is far outside of the parameters of doctrinal positions that Southern Baptists would hold. But just to tell you that I love you, and I'll pray for you, and I appreciate what you have done, and thank you for coming.
Well, there are many things I would like to say, and some I would, but I probably, I'll say only that I don't know about the Be Not Conformed book. I'm not familiar with that at all, but I will surely look into it, and I understand your suggestion about the biblical perspective in the first year, and I'll raise that. And whereas much that I would like to say, I'll yield. I invited folks to come along and told them that I would not ask them to speak, but at the same time, I wouldn't muzzle them. So perhaps if we have time, Rick, I should, out of fairness, just say if one of my group of five would like to say something, they're certainly welcome to, as far as I'm concerned.
Folks, my name is John Pittman. I went to Howard College. I met my wife there. We both graduated from Howard College. 1953, 40 years ago this month in March, I came on the Board of Trustees. I've had the privilege of serving with Major Harwell Davis, Dr. Leslie Wright, and Dr. Thomas Courts. From what I've heard up here today, I don't believe that your desires for Samford University are any different than ours. I'm a layman. Maybe I don't understand all the doctrine as if I'd had a seminary education. And I don't think I speak for all the trustees. Maybe I speak for this trustee. Just as Herschel Hobbs, in What Baptists Believe, said in the preface, this is what one Baptist believes. We want people to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally. We want, beside an educational institution, a distinctive. If all we were doing was educating, we could all resign from this board and leave it up to the Auburns and the Alabamas and the UABs. We want a Christian community there. When we have a Terry Bowden coaching football, we want him to know the Lord Jesus Christ personally before he comes. Chan Gailey passed that test with his personal testimony. We want that in pharmacy. We want it in the business school. We want it in law. There's nothing more important than this life. And I speak as a trustee who is concerned about those young people that come on that campus, to the kind of community to which they're exposed during that four-year period. We're not perfect. I wish we were. I'm not sure, and I love pastors. People that have known me through the years know that. And I'm not sure your church is perfect. And I'm not sure that all of those who teach Sunday school classes, about 1,000, some of them may be teaching error. and that's regrettable. But I want you people to love Samford University, and I want you to trust us. This Board of Trustees at Samford University, and as I say, I've been on it for 40 consecutive years, this Board of Trustees at Samford University wants what you want. I'm going to conclude with this. I've served under three great presidents. We have never had, since I started there as a student in 1940, more than a half a century ago, we have never had the spiritual emphasis that we have at Samford University today. And I applaud what's taking place to make it even better. But please, let's don't get so divisive that we choose up sides and we have people that are enemies of Samford University and destroy probably the finest denominational institution of its kind in the United States today. Thank you for listening to me.
I'm Jerrold Hodges, Chairman of the Board of Trustees at Samford University. I've served on this board for 31 years, and as John Pittman said, I've had the privilege of serving and working with three presidents. I have never known a better Christian than the president that we have now. I've never known a person that I felt was called by God to be the president of a university as much as I feel that Tom Quartz has. I think he's been called just as much as any pastor who is called to spread the gospel. And I want to say to you that let's don't overlook the wonderful things that are going on. Of all the honors, and I don't believe there's a university in America that has achieved what our university has achieved in the past 8 years. I know of none that have received the honors that we've received. And you know, the honor that pleases me most, and I believe if you will analyze the situation, you'll say the very same thing, is the John Templeton Character Building Award. You know, when you realize the fact, and I'd like to read you what this award is all about and what the John Templeton Foundation says about this award. It says the award is the most important of any other, and they have strived to select schools that are building students with character as well as intellect. Students with a sense of morality as well as ability. And two, when you realize that only 100 students are selected each year, or 100 universities for this honor, that Samford University has been selected for this honor every year since it was established in 1988. So I think when you look around you, I think you have to realize that maybe I'm not a theologian. I can tell you from a business standpoint that this university is being handled in a way that I think Christ would approve. I think that when situations come up, we've had a lot of things to come up, unfortunate things, no more than I think that you would have in a church or another university that has 4,000 students, all young people, you would have the same type things to come up. But I appreciate the Christian-like way that Tom Quartz, his people, and the trustees have addressed these things. I think in every one of them, they've done their best to get the facts and then to really review those very carefully, pray about the situation, and then come up with an answer that they think is best, trying to take a Christ-like approach. We've got a great university. It's being run in a great way. It's good, I think, to have dialogue. I think that's the purpose of a university. I think you need to discuss problems that come up, talk about them, try to find the best answers. And I want you to know that I feel that you have the best president you could possibly have. I think we have the best administration, other administrative officers. I think we have the best faculty and the best trustees. I don't think that we have to take a back seat to any university. I think we are open. We've never tried to cover up anything. And this is one of the great things I appreciate about Tom Courts. But I guess the one thing that I would leave with you is one statement. And that statement is simply this. And I would like to go over it real carefully with you. And I hope you'll listen to me carefully, and I believe you will. We are open to review and criticism of all Alabama Baptists. We have nothing to hide. We have much to proclaim.
Yeah. All right, our time is up. We're on grace period here now, so I think you've got a couple more folks who want to say something. And you know, during the recent storm, you had a lot of power outages, but when you know when the former head of the phone company doesn't have a phone that's working, that no favoritism is being played.
Thank you. I've just come out of the hospital, and at 3 o'clock I'm supposed to take a pill, and that's why my voice may shake just a little bit, but you bear with me. I think what I have gotten out of this meeting today is really good. I personally, as a trustee, and I've been a trustee over 20 years, I did not graduate from Sanford. I love it probably more than anyone in this room. I love it because of what it stands for. But I like the attitude that our moderator and our panel, I think, displayed and saying, let's sit down and talk about it. We can work this thing out. We're all Christians. We all want to go to the same place. We're all striving, maybe in a little different ways. But I think that our president here, and I've known him from the first day he walked on the campus, will be open to dialogue and discussion to anyone. I found out in my business that if you dig deep, there may be something wrong. It may not be the exact complaint that you got that was really the truth, but maybe there was something that we ought to look at. I don't know. When we checked on our president, those that had been nominated for the job, I can guarantee you that this man was looked into much more than anyone that I'd ever been associated with. I had the pleasure of being in Roy Angel's church. You're too young to remember these people. Roy Angel's church, Casper Warren's church, Ralph Herring's church, Ward Barr's church. I can go down the line. And I have all the honest people that, and I'm taking my father into consideration, of all the honest people that I've ever been privileged to know is Tom Courts. He will give you his ear. He will do what is right. And I thank you very much for your attitude in having us and the trustees meet here and say a word to you this afternoon. Now that pill, I've got to go take the pill.
We're going to furnish you something to take that pill with. I believe we were instructed we have refreshments in room 3-something-another. If I can find my sheet here. Room 152. Like I said, 3-something-another. Room 152. And if you can find that, you can have something to eat and drink. Thanks once again to First Baptist, to Dr. Troy Morrison for working out this meeting, and Albert Lee Smith and Dr. Kortz for doing a lot of the work. Okay, Randy Atkinson, Centerpoint Baptist, Scottsboro, please call your wife. Apparently there's some urgent information you need to know, so Randy, I pass that on to you. I want to continue thanking the audience. You guys did great. You started the amen a little bit, and there's going to be amening all the way home. Some of you guys are going to be shouting the whole way home, I'm sure, just to get it out of your system, but I thought you behaved very well. I think the panel deserves a nice round of applause for their demeanor. And I think a special round of applause also for Dr. Kortz and his answers and demeanor. Couple of parting instructions. I think it only fair that you furnish Dr. Kortz with a copy of something. Don't just refer to something. Panelist, I think if there's something you were referring to, I know how that is to be told something in a hallway with several hundred people and can't remember what they said. You need to put that on paper and hand him a copy of that. I know there were reporters present, and we've talked here about doctrinal integrity. We'll find out about your integrity because we asked you not to stay if you were going to write about it. And so if you leave and write about it, then we'll meet next time about your integrity. The dialogue is always better than politics. We are a family. We have some problems, but they're few compared to all the good that's happening. And Samford is our school. It's all of our school. I didn't go to Samford, but it's my school too, because I'm an Alabama Baptist and it's part of us. And on that note, we will stand and be dismissed with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask our state convention president, Dewey Corder, if he will. Can you be heard from there, Brother Dewey, or do you want to find the microphone? All right. Would you close us, please?
Father, how grateful we are that we can come to share our hearts. Allow your Holy Spirit to guide us in thinking and sharing. Father, most important, we thank you that we're bound together as brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord. Lord, you know our hearts. You know that our desire, each of us, is to allow our lives to be used as vessels in your service to share your love. Bless each church represented here. Bless Samford University, Lord, and Dr. Kortz and the leaders there. Father, as we shared here, we felt your spirit. We pray that if we leave this place, that we'll leave with a renewed awareness and desire in our hearts in the midst of a world that's so broken and fractured. We can share your love with people, even this day. And that as we share that love together, even in the ability to share differences of opinions and concerns, that throughout all of that, that the people outside the walls of this church, the people who really don't know us, but the people who know and have heard about the one whom we love, our Savior, will recognize that as we love each other, they will know that we know Jesus. Because you told us, Lord, it is by the love that we have for each other that the world will know that we're yours. So keep binding us together in that love, and may we grow stronger and stronger day by day in our influence for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you, Rick.
I thought it was great. I thought it was very wholesome.